You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school, like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, a podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Now, here's your host, Jake.
What's up, guys? It's Jake, and I am back with my Good Company podcast as we come to you guys every couple weeks on a Tuesday. And this week I'm excited to bring you guys someone that I spend a lot of time with, and I've been talking to him quite frequently about joining me on this podcast. And that special person is my friend Jeremy Hughes, my trainer from here in Paragon Fitness. What is the name of this place?
Paragon Strength and Fitness.
Paragon Strength and Fitness. I was going to have them edit that in there, but I feel like that's fine. So Paragon Strength and Fitness is the name of, I just call it Paragon. But Jeremy is an awesome dude, and we've come to know each other through the last few years in passing. And then one day on a quest for my own personal fitness goals and journey, where I drive by out here in West Nashville every day, I passed by this beautiful building that had been renovated and remodeled, and it said Paragon Fitness. And I thought, well, I'm going to walk in there and just see what they've got going on. So I walked in here and saw a bunch of amazing equipment and this beastly looking dude in great shape. And that's how I met you, man. So everybody say hello to Jeremy Hughes here at Paragon. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to just chat with you really on a lot of levels. Most importantly, I think for me, I know over the last year, I guess it's been almost about a year since I walked in here last year. Maybe not that long. But coming up on a year. But I've made a lot of personal changes and goals I've fulfilled, honestly, in my life, thanks to you and your wife, Kristen. You guys have a beautiful little girl, Callie, which is really cute for me, because as little as I get to be around my little girl, Pearl, a lot of mornings I come in here and see Callie running around, and it makes me smile because it reminds me of my little girl. But man, I think what's important today to talk to you about is what you bring to the table for people, not just like myself, but everyone else that I see coming here. I mean, I come in here in the mornings. Every morning I'm usually here by, I'd say on average, I'm here by 7 o'clock in the morning. We used to do a little earlier sometimes.
7:08.
Yeah. If it's 7, I'm usually here by 7:08. There was a while there, though, I was never late.
You're early.
I was always early. Lately, I don't know if it's just because you've been wearing me out or what, but I really, man, I'm thankful for you. I really mean that. Over the last almost year of change in my life, of just being more focused on my fitness and dedication to my health. As we all get older, it's not easy to stay in shape. But what's also not easy, I'm assuming for you, is to keep people's spirits and mind up to the point where they feel like they can continue a trek towards bettering themselves and life, I think. And that's really what my podcast is about. It's about talking to people that are good people that inspire others. And I've talked to everybody from my dad, who inspires me, to good friends of mine. And now you, man. So if you don't mind, give me your background on kind of where you grew up and what got you into being a trainer here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Western Kentucky. My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and we traveled quite a bit, moved around quite a bit. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. I grew up in a very loving household, but I didn't get to see my dad a whole lot.
He was preaching
at small to medium-sized churches. So he was the music leader. He was the pastor. He had to do everything himself. So unfortunately, I didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with my dad. But he always made sure that I felt loved. But it was the moving around every 2 to 3 years in the middle of a school year that, I mean, going through school as a kid, that's tough just in general. But when you move and it's always in the middle of the year, it becomes...
Just about the time you made some friends.
Absolutely. So it was about after the second move that it was just a tough transition for me. And I lost my ability to really make friends because I figured as soon as I made them, I was going to lose them again. So the big thing with me was I kind of turned to food, and I was... became very morbidly obese, but that was my comfort. I found comfort in eating, and through that, I became morbidly obese and
got made fun of. Morbidly obese.
Morbidly obese. When I was in seventh grade, I had about a 43-inch waist. I was 175 pounds, and I was only like 5'2". So, I mean, I had the front butt thing and everything going on. I was like a sucker.
It's funny. You've mentioned that to me before, which is one of the reasons I thought it would be interesting to talk to you, because now, I mean, those of y'all that don't know Jeremy's in amazing shape and you're so dedicated to your fitness and your healthy eating, that being a kid and these days, as you know, kids are, you know, people talk about bullying all the time now, but bullying's been going on for years. I mean, I remember being a kid, being bullied in school, but when you told me that day, and it blew my mind. You're like, you said to me, I used to be the fat kid in school. Were there times where you were in school and you felt that way? Where you felt bullied? You felt like, you know, it was motivation for you to want to change, or what was that turning point?
Yeah, I was bullied a lot, and I loved school. I loved academics, but I hated going to school because every day it was just who was going to make fun of me. It was just made me feel worse about myself every single day. I wanted to have a girlfriend. You know, in the seventh, eighth grade, everybody has girlfriends, and not one girl had ever even looked my way. And that was very, very tough. And I remember one memory that really stuck out was I was on the basketball team. I love basketball. And I'd always get picked to be the skins. Everybody else, all the lean guys would be shirts, but I would be picked for skins, and the cheerleaders would be on the side. I can remember it. I mean, it still plays in my head all the time. And I just remember everybody looking at me, and at least it felt like everybody was looking at me and just looking down on me. And at that point, I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I saw a magazine with a bodybuilder on it, and I said, I bet that guy has no issues. Now, looking back, that guy has more issues than most average men.
Yeah.
However, to me, I was like, he has it made. Every girl wants to be with him. All the guys want to be like him. That's what I want to do. So what I did to try to control things was I starved myself and became anorexic. So for about 2 months, I lost about 60 pounds. You could see all my ribs. And my parents loved me, but they said, hey, look, one more day, if you don't start eating, we realized you can't eat like a regular person, but if you don't start eating more than one forkful of food, which is about what I was doing a day, and working out 2 hours a day, we're going to put you in the hospital because we love you and we can't watch you kill yourself. So
dang.
I started battling back with that. And I turned to working out as a way to control things. So I tracked all my calories. I tracked all my workouts, calorie expenditure. I did everything. I read as much as I could, try to control that so I would never go back to being fat again.
What age was this?
It was the end of seventh grade and going into the eighth grade is when I lost about 60 pounds in 2 months.
So you were going, I mean, at an early age, you were noticing and feeling like insecurities and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Complete emotional distress. So through that, I started really reading and researching everything I get my hands on. I did the traditional, got the Arnold Encyclopedia and tried to copy all of his workouts and train chest about 18 times a week and every other body part. And I didn't learn the correct way to do it, but I think it was the things that I went through early on that's allowed me to connect with people in a way other than a lot of trainers that have always been in shape or they're younger and they've just never had to deal with a lot of issues. And when people come to see me, I can sit down and be like, honestly, you know what? I understand anorexia. I understand eating disorders. I understand all that because I've been there. I can show you pictures. And it's really enabled me to connect with a lot of people on very intimate levels. And through that, it's people listen to you and they respect you, and it allows them to see, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and change their lives as well. So
yeah, man. And honestly, that's why I was excited to talk with you, because I've seen personally, just being here, all walks of life walk in that front door and be inspired to better themselves, you know, from high school kids that are coming in here trying to get strong before college, to, you know, how old's Harvey?
Harvey's 78 going on about 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you've seen him when he first came in.
Yeah. So, I hope Harvey's cool with us talking about him, but I mean, I'm super proud.
He is now.
Harvey, sorry, now, Harvey, you are now on a podcast, but, our buddy Harvey comes in here every morning too. I mean, it seems like he's here at least 3-4 times a week. Harvey's how old? 78.
Harvey's 78 years old.
And when he walked in here, you said, you gave a good explanation. He was kind of...
it was funny. He walked in the door, him and his wife, and they tried a bunch of things. And they're coming from the YMCA, and they came over here. And Harvey was actually shorter than his wife when they walked in because his sciatica was so bad and he was bent over so far. He had a lot of body fat on him, and he just didn't know what to do. So we sat down, and we got him going. We've almost like tripled his calories that he started with. You got to build the metabolism. Sciatic is gone. The man just—he's talking about he was never athletic in his early years. And he said, the biggest thing to me was, he's like, you're giving me a chance to relive my life of all the things that I wanted to do when I was young. And he goes, so I'm so grateful. I'm doing all kinds of things I never could do when I was younger.
And so that's so great. I mean, that's got to be pretty fulfilling for you to give that sort of feeling to someone else and give them, when you were talking about insecurities earlier, to feel secure about what you look like and how you feel, and especially at that age. But I see it as well for these kids that are coming in and out of here. But speaking of Harvey, it's kind of funny too. I might have to take a little bit of credit on this one. Harvey would come in and say, Jake, where'd you get those shorts, man? Those are good looking shorts. That's good. I said, Harvey, man, I got this at Lululemon, man. These are Lululemon shorts. And before you know it, I think Harvey's bought the entire Lululemon store. He comes in here now every morning and he's decked out in Lululemon.
I remember he was frustrated about that because he went out that day and he said he was trying to go out to Lulu. And something came up and he couldn't make it that day. So he was so frustrated the next day when he came in. He said, I'm getting down there today, though. And yeah, he bought a bunch of Lulu clothes. And then there was about 7 other people that followed in suit. So yeah, you definitely should have got some commission or
from Lulu,
something
off
that. Lulu should be sending out a nice package to your house.
Shout out to Lululemon on that one. I think something that, speaking on my behalf, man, that it bring me into this for a second, you know, one of the reasons I enjoy talking to so many random people on this podcast is that they're people that in my life, like I said earlier, inspire me, but hold me accountable too for being the person that I need to be. Whether it be my mother I talked to last week, you know, I told her I was going to move to Nashville almost, you know, 15 years ago and chase a dream of playing music. And she supported me. And so what was my responsibility at that point was to hold myself accountable for fulfilling this sort of promise that I told my parents. Now, whether or not I would have made it or not, my mom and dad would still be proud of me,
sure,
you know, but I would never be able to look back and be happy with myself if I knew that I didn't give 100% at what I was doing. And so I think that goes back to what you do is people come in here. I've seen them. I mean, I've seen it happen, man. And for those out there listening, maybe you are one of these people, but, people come into a gym a lot and they have high expectations of, I'm going to walk in this gym and in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. And that's not necessarily the case, right?
That's never the case. The thing about us that really separates us is when people come in here, one, it's very private. I created a niche environment to where people could come in and be completely private and feel completely comfortable, no matter if they're a pro athlete or it's a stay-at-home mom who's never worked out in her life. That's very important, one, for people. But two is when people sit down with you the first time, they think we're going to talk about sets and reps and all that stuff. And that's the last thing.
Like meathead stuff.
Yeah, that's the last thing that I care about, because the thing for people in any walk of life, no matter what you're doing, business, relationships, it's you got to figure out your why. And so you got to set some goals and you got to figure out what's going to keep you motivated when nobody's looking, when you're tired, life didn't go great that day. You just got to figure out what it is that's going to keep you moving forward no matter what it is. So when we sit people down, I don't talk sets and reps. I talk, what's your goals for the next year? Where do you want to be? And they always start with their physical, of course, because they're coming to me for training. But I get that. But let's talk beyond that. What's this physical going to do for you? Is it going to give you the confidence to, if you just went through a divorce, to get back out on the dating scene? Is it going to give you the energy to be able to enjoy your kids and levels and, you know, be successful like you want to? Throw a ball whenever you're 60 years old if you want. Some of the saddest part, because we have a kind of niche clientele here. These people are very dedicated that come to me. It's not just your average gym goers. But the big thing with people when they come to see me is they're, you know, very successful people, but they're at the point in their life where they've worked their butt off and for 30 years and they want to go out and travel now, enjoy themselves, but they've neglected their health for 30 years to work hard. And now they're at the point with their health that they can't enjoy themselves like they want to. So the big thing is I like to teach balance, but you got to understand what your goals are. And then once you set those goals, then why is that important to you? What's the most important thing you want to achieve? And then you also got to talk about what's been holding you back. So once you can kind of line out those and set those goals and, you know, year long goals for yourself, where you want to be, then everything else falls in place. It's that mental acuity to be able to stick to what you're doing and be consistent, because it doesn't matter how good a program is. If you can only do it for 4 weeks, it's not going to do you any good. So you need to find something you can create a lifestyle with and be able to do consistently.
And I think what you said there, setting goals, is a big deal, because I know my dad always said that if you don't set goals or don't know where you're going, then how are you going to know when you get there?
Right.
And for me, I know that when I walked in here last year, I've been working out for a lot of years, and I've been trying my hardest to always stay in shape. But I think a lot of those out there that are listening, it's hard, really hard on the road, as much as I'm on the road and night after night, not sleeping well and, you know, where most people's bed is completely still at home every night, mine's moving 80 miles an hour down the road, and I can feel every bump we hit and every time the bus driver slams on the brakes because somebody pulled in front of them. I mean, it's a different kind of lifestyle, but I wanted to get myself on more of a routine, not just waking up in the morning and going to the gym, which I'd done before, but really being strategic on my meals. And you tend to know a lot about the nutritional side of staying fit. And so I was going to ask you, for anybody that's interested out there and what you might offer, to them, as far as someone's wanting to change their lifestyle without necessarily stepping into a gym right now, but really wanting to get a head start before they think about starting to pump iron, right? What would be your biggest piece of advice for those people?
Start moving.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right?
good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
That's the biggest thing, is just to start moving. What you see with a lot of people is it's paralysis by analysis.
Paralysis by analysis. Have you used that before?
I had that in the gun holster. I was waiting to use that. Yeah, absolutely.
Paralysis by analysis.
So basically what it is if people don't have the perfect scenario, they're like, okay, well, I'm going to eat 5 meals a day. I'm going to eat these perfect meals. I'm going to work out so many times a week. And they're always waiting for that perfect time to start their plan. And most people never start it because they never have that perfect moment. Life's not perfect.
What about the people, though, that say, I ate good today, but I only ate 2 meals. I ate a salad and some yogurt. And I mean, like, they're basically, because there's different. That's what I've learned over the years. And I question you on this now, putting you kind of on the spot. But, you know, there's the theory of eat multiple times a day to keep your metabolism higher. And then there's those that feel like they do better by eating once or twice a day. Because I hear these people all the time that say, oh, I don't eat breakfast, man. I ain't a breakfast person. But what I've come to realize for my life, and I mean, I think maybe you could attest, is that breakfast is a really important part of the day. I mean, you've fasted basically all night long by going to sleep. You wake up and you've, for 8 or 10 hours, if you got 8 or 8 hours sleep, you haven't put a piece of food or liquid in your body. So to not eat breakfast and get your day started the right way, you're essentially starting up your car with no gas in it and trying to drive downtown.
Yeah, so the big thing is with that too is every diet works and every diet doesn't work. And usually the best plan for you is the one you're not doing. So if you think back to hundreds of years ago, when the way we ate, it was in seasons. So you didn't eat the same food every day, day in and day out. You would maybe eat couple meals, you ate, you know, you got a kill, you'd eat tons of food.
I was about to say,
day.
You eat whatever you went out and killed that day.
So you didn't eat the same food every season for the spring and the fall. Everything kind of changed. So I think rotation is very important. And there's no perfect diet. It's what we do with our clients is we start them on a basic foundational plan that I think is going to be pretty good for them depending on what their goals are, what their life is like. One, like we said, it has to be a plan that you can stick to day in and day out. If it's so strict, but it's the best, it may be the best diet, but if you can only follow it 3 weeks, that's not going to get you anywhere. So one is the plan that you can be the most consistent with. And two is most people undereat. It's every single client that's came through the door, we've increased their calories no matter what their goal was, to lose fat, to put on muscle, just to feel good. It's most people undereat. So you've got to build your metabolism. As far as meals, usually it's like 4 to 6 meals. If you're going to eat, say, 2,000 calories and you eat it in one meal versus 4 meals, say, you're going to be able to digest it a lot better. It just comes down to it. So more
you're
steady.
Saying if you eat 4 meals that total 2,000 calories,
yeah,
as opposed to one large meal.
Yeah, you'll be able to
your body's
your
able
better,
to digest it.
You'll have a better, slower release of energy. You'll feel a lot better. But it just depends on your goal. As people come in, and I had one guy I worked with a long time ago, and he could eat pizza every week and still get into shape. So it's, you know, you gotta give people balance in life. If you try to make them be so strict that they're going to end up falling off the plan. So it's just balance. And every plan can work. But here we do body fat every week on people every 2 weeks, and to see how their body changes with their weight. You've done it. Yep. And based on that, that's how we change their plan. So it's a plan needs to constantly change as your body evolves. There's no one set plan. Keto works. I know people that do keto and that works. I know people that eat tons. I have one guy that's 290 that eats about 600 grams of carbs. So everything works and everything stops
working.
Just
a matter of staying consistent to it and working
and then knowing how to change the variables as you move forward with that.
Which gets back to what I said a minute ago about people walking in this door that think that overnight they're gonna change. I can tell you, for me personally, I'm one of those people, you know, I'm impatient. Everything I want it now.
Hide it so well though.
Yeah. Right. I'm that kind of person. I mean, it was the same way when I left college to move to Nashville to chase a dream of singing on the road. Like, I didn't want to come up here and wait 4 or 5 years to get going. I mean, I wanted to work at it once I got here because I wanted it to happen the next day. I thought when I moved to Nashville, I was going to be a touring musician on the road the following week. And it doesn't happen like that without consistency, like you just said, and a goal, which I had. And working towards that goal, you eventually get to where you want to be. And where I am now, not just in my personal business life, but in this physical realm, I feel pretty good, man. I feel like over the last year, I feel like I've, in this year, I've pretty much worked harder than I've ever worked as far as trying to get myself in shape, which is weird because I'm the oldest I've ever been, which is an odd thing to say. I'm 35 years old, 36.
I'm the same age as you are. So things kind of change once you get past that big 3-0.
But what's your assessment for those out there that are wondering? And I'd like to, I'm a fly on the wall at this point, but if someone was like, hey, I see Jake goes to your gym, what's your assessment? You don't hold anything back. I want your honest opinion. I've never asked you that, but here you are on record about to give the Jake Owen assessment.
You work out very, very hard. And the first part, though, is with a lot of people is you got to fix what's wrong. So when you came to me, you had a lot of kind of nagging injuries from the diet plan that you'd done before. You didn't have a lot of lean muscle on you. You had dieted a lot of the muscle and the fat off. You were leaner.
Yeah, I was lean, skinny.
But you didn't have much muscle. And because of that, you had a lot of nagging injuries that were still bothering you. So my first goal was to get you healthy. And we did that by putting on about 15, 20 pounds of lean mass. And that's the big thing that people don't do is
lean mass.
That's right, lean mass. Paragon mass. You put on Paragon mass. It's you got to eat more. And most people, they don't put enough value on strength training. They try to do a lot of cardio and a lot of diet. And, you know, cardio bumps up your calorie expenditure for a couple hours. But if you really want to burn more calories, put on some muscle, because the more muscle
burns calories.
Yeah.
Because that's the misconception I hear a lot, especially from females that say, I don't really want to lift weights. I don't want to get all, you know, muscular. And
The first thing I tell them is like, you know, I have men that have been working out with me for years that aren't anywhere near where they want to be. So don't worry, you're not going to do that. But it's the strength training and you know that.
It's taxing your body and your muscles in order to where they need the nutrients.
Yeah, you completely handle macronutrients. You handle carbs better. You burn calories 24 hours long, more fat burn. It's just the strength training completely changes the look of the physique, and it makes you healthy. It prevents osteoporosis, a lot of things. So if people put more emphasis on strength training versus cardio and they had just a good sound diet, they'd get 10 times better results than what they're getting now. Most people just wear themselves out with tons of cardio and not eating enough. So
I remember one of the things you said to me when I walked in here the first time was, you said, I don't believe in, what was it? You said, I don't believe in overworking out. I believe in under eating. Was that it?
I said, I don't believe in overtraining. I believe in under eating. And very few people overtrain. They just don't train hard enough or that enough times in the week to overtrain, but they do under eat. And that's why most people don't lose fat, is because they've slowed their metabolism down by, if I want to lose weight, I'll just eat less. Well, yeah, you will, but most of the time, all you lose is water and muscle. You don't lose a lot of fat, and you've slowed your metabolism down. And once you've done that, you become a fat hoarding machine. You just store fat like crazy. It's your job. So it's
kind of like you as a kid.
A whole lot more like me as a kid. Yeah, absolutely. Nah, I always ate way too much.
What do you have any piece of advice for any kids out there that listen to my podcast that might be wanting to get in shape? I mean, I know that we've talked about this already. It's kind of about advice you have for people out there, but there's all walks of life that listen to me out there. And I was telling Jeremy this before we started my podcast today, that I'm blown away that with all of the things and choices that people have out there to listen or watch or be entertained, whether it's with YouTube or whether it's with all the other podcasts that are out there, or television, or you name it, that those that are listening to this genuinely are interested in whatever it is that I have to be talking about. And I'm so flattered by that. But with that platform that I have, I'm always looking for ways to inspire those out there. And so I thought by talking to you, and we've got a few minutes left here, just to kind of leave people with some advice on if they're thinking about, this is the year, like here it comes, it's about summertime, it's pool season, man, like this is the time I want to get myself in shape. A lot of folks I've heard before say, man, I don't know, I don't have time for the gym. And I've always said, on something I've heard before, is that no one has time for the gym. You have to make time. Or nobody has time to be athletic or be put fitness in their life, but you have to make time for that. So for those out there that are looking for a little bit more piece of advice from someone where they're getting some pretty good free advice from you today, what do you have anything to leave them with that you think is valuable?
You know, as talking about the kids, it's the big thing is I say you got to love yourself. I never loved myself. I always thought there was something wrong with me growing up because of the things I went through. So for the kids, love yourself and don't focus too much on that time because life gets better. I mean, I never would have imagined I'd be where I am today back when I was that morbidly obese kid getting made fun of.
But it's awesome, dude. It's awesome to see it. And I didn't just choose you to talk to you on this podcast because I just thought, oh, I'm going to fill some time with you. I genuinely wanted to chat with you because I see what you've done for my life and how much better I feel. And I think when you feel better, you perform better in life in all aspects. Not only that, people see you feel like you can see when someone's feeling good. You can see when someone's
it affects every aspect of your life, your relationships, your at work, the way you do things. It's everything. This is the foundation to happiness in whatever area of life you want. So I would say, you know, for the older, the more adults, the big thing is, one, don't beat yourself up too much. If you're not 100% dead on, just do your best every day. If you can do your best every day and you hit 80% of your goal.
I ate a Hershey's chocolate kiss last night.
I'm surprised it's just one. There's probably more to the story on that.
But. No, I only had one. I have a little, my little girl gave me some and I just ate one.
We'll make you do 20 more squats before you leave then. We'll work that off. Don't worry about that. But two is just set your goals down and you got to make it a priority. Like you said, people say they don't have time. People have time to do what they want to. I have people that come in here and I think there's no way they could afford this service. And it's an investment. It's an investment in your health. And those people, they find a way. If you want something in life bad enough, you'll find a way to achieve it. So the goals is huge. Sit your goals down and understand why you want to do something. Even get a dream board. Put up things, pictures that remind you of what you want to achieve. And don't focus on the day-to-day. Focus on that end goal. Focus on the light at the end of the tunnel. And just envision yourself being there. And the people that are willing to work hard and go after whatever they want, they usually get it. It may not come easy. It's never come easy for me. But it just makes it that much more amazing when you achieve it just because you had to work for it. It's
well, I think a lot of people look at my life too and they think, oh man, it comes easy for ever this and that. And it doesn't, it really doesn't. I mean, I genuinely do. I mean, you think I enjoy, I mean, I get here at 7 a.m. So in order for me to get here at 7 a.m. each morning, I'm up by 5:45, usually have to leave my place by 6:30-ish to get here. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I enjoy seeing you. You bring a lot of, positive things to my life, but I don't love getting up every morning. But once I get here and I get going and I finish the workout, I'm able to go, whoa, I feel good, and let's start this day today. And I've watched you over the last year, man, inspire a lot of people, including myself, and I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And I appreciate you giving your advice and expertise to those out there that I think are just as interested. And for anyone out there that's looking to get yourself in shape, I mean, it's never too late to do that. I'm on the journey with you. I'm always on a fitness journey to better myself and just feel better. I want to live as long as I can and be as healthy and happy as I can. So
you're on the fun phase too. We've done the bulking. We've put on the lean mass. Now we're getting ready to get ripped.
By bringing myself into this, I was going to say that, I mean, there's been days where I complain to you where I'm like, oh, I feel fat, man. I'm like, I just want to get rid of this fat right here on my stomach. And
I like your research too. Every time you come in, you're like, I read this, which is good. I like people that challenge and want to understand things. But a lot of people, they have the same problem. You asked me to kind of assess where you're at, the same problem. You know, you start doing something for 3 or 4 days and then you see something else. It's like squirrel, you know, and you try to change. And people, they flop around way too much.
I have really bad attention deficit disorder anyway.
Yeah, so we get going for about 3 or 4 days and then you read something that somebody else is doing something else. And you're like, well, what about this? And it's just pick something and stick to it 100% and figure out what works for you. That's the way. If you're always switching every 3 to 4 days to something new, you're never going to know what's going to work. So it's just stick to something. Don't you know, make things too hard on yourself and just be positive. But, you know, the big thing I think with a lot of people as well is people get comfortable in being unhappy. It's people don't want to push themselves, and it's easier to be comfortable and not be happy than to try to push yourself out of that comfort zone and the possibility of failing. Don't be afraid to fail in life.
Everybody, everyone on earth has failed multiple times.
Absolutely. So fail fast. Fail as fast as you can so you can learn from those lessons. But, you know, the people that I see people all the time, and those are the ones that don't sign up, it's because when they go through it, they're just comfortable being unhappy. And they would rather do that.
That's really interesting to think that what you just said is very true. There's a lot of people I know that are just comfortable, but they're comfortable in their unhappiness.
Yeah, and they can never be disappointed.
But think about how comfortable you can be in happiness, being happy.
Yeah, well, those are the people that win. The people that take chances, the people that push themselves, they go the extra mile.
I'm so inspired right now, dude. I got here this morning, and I brought my microphones with me, so I don't always have to do my podcasts from our studio. But I brought these microphones with me. We had a great workout this morning, and I told Jeremy, I was like, you mind after the workout if we chat a little bit for my podcast? So, dude, I appreciate it, man. It's been an inspiring conversation this morning. I hope everyone out there that's listening. By the way, a friend of mine that listens to my podcast said, I don't know if you should always reference the people out there listening. But I don't want to feel like I'm just talking to you. You know, we're talking to a lot of people. This podcast reaches a lot of folks out there. And so I do say that a lot to those listening and those out there, but I'm so appreciative of y'all that tune in and listen. We're always coming to you with a bunch of random ideas and people to talk to, but the common consistent point of this podcast for me is to always find people that I can talk to that inspire me, but will also inspire others. And that's exactly what you are, man. I appreciate everything you've helped me do.
Pleasure.
Yeah. And thanks for giving your advice to those out there listening. I'll see you tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Yeah. And if they want to get a hold of me in any way.
Yeah. How do people get a hold of you?
ParagonStrength.com. They can go to our website and fill out an email form. And, you know, maybe in the future too, if people want to write in and have like a couple questions they want to ask you, general fitness related, then maybe we could do like short little videos every once in a while for them and just answer people's questions. That way we can kind of help people in a more detailed, you know,
heck
setting.
Yeah. So, heck yeah. And anybody that's here and that's in the Nashville area that listens, that's looking for a great place to come and train and get the most out of your life and fitness, come see Jeremy and Kristen over here at Paragon off Highway 100 in Bellevue. So appreciate you guys. Thank you, Jeremy. I always say it. You are a good company, as the others that have been on here before. And I'll see you tomorrow at 7 a.m. working out hard, and I'll make sure to go eat a lot today.
I'll see you at 7:08. Sounds good.
All right. See y'all.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school. Like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro. That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.